Good afternoon. Would this be Noodles?
It is. How are you doing?
Doing good, thanks. It's Greg Williams up in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, the fourth stop on your cross-Canada tour with Sum 41 and Dinosaur Pileup.
Excellent.
Where are you right now?
I'm at home in Huntington Beach, California.
Oh, so have you been watching the forecast, the weather?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm a little afraid.
You know what? Honestly, the start to the winter so far, not like it was last year. It's been pretty calm by last year's standards. So you know, we got the white stuff on the ground, which is cool. Considering when you guys get to town, you're going to be competing with Santa Claus.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We've got our annual Santa Claus parade right before your show. It's all happening downtown. So downtown is definitely going to be bustling when you guys arrive for the show.
Oh, Santa Claus is going down. We're going to take him out this year.
Right off the top here, I just want to fangirl for a second. I just want to let you know that this is truly a privilege for me, considering I went to high school from 90 to 95, and The Offspring was a part of the soundtrack of my youth. So it's so fantastic for me to get to speak with you.
All right, man. Thank you.
You and I are also celebrating an anniversary together. I don't know if you know this.
I don't know this.
20 years since Woodstock 99. I mean, you were there, of course, performing. I was there as a fan.
Oh, nice! Yeah, that was a crazy few days right then,
wasn't it?
So I think we were the first day, so we got out before it all went to hell. But
a
few things conspired against all the people there. The heat, you know, just Mother Nature bore down on us pretty heavily, and then that place was not the place where they held it in '99 wasn't a great venue. It was pretty sparse and ugly and. I think it got out of hand for both those reasons.
You know, you got to choose to either participate in that or just sit back and watch it happen. My friends and I, we were just kind of chilling. We're like, this is really crazy. And what we ended up doing is they were running shuttles into the town. So we'd hop on a bus. We went into town. We bought a couple cases of beer for like $15 each, came back and had sold a case for $50 before we even walked back onto the grounds because the security didn't care, right?
Enterprising young fellows you were.
Absolutely.
That was good.
Cost me $20 U.S. to eat and drink all weekend. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Here we are, 35 years in since the start. I mean, of course, you're under a different name in the beginning, but 9 albums, over 40 million sold worldwide. When you think about those numbers and you look back, how's that make you feel?
Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. You know, we were just hanging out with James, who was our first drummer, you know, back in 1984. Played with him. He came out and went to a couple of shows. He went to a show with us in Mexico, actually. So he flew on the jet with us, and it's like we picked right up where we left off. It's crazy. You know, it's kind of hard to try to encapsulate how all that feels, but you know, we've just had a great time doing this. You know, we started off doing this as a hobby. You know, for 10 years, that's how we did it. Just saving up money so we could pay to go out and play music for people, and it just took off from there. About 10 years in, all of a sudden it became our career, but no less fun. You know, it's still what we love to do.
So when you, again, go back to the beginning, as you're saying, when you all got started to now, what's touring life like for Offspring now compared to what it was in the beginning?
Well, it's done in much nicer places. I mean, and vehicles too, for sure. You know, usually we have a bus. Sometimes we'll hub out of a city and we'll take Dexter's jet. He's got a small business jet, a Citation, and so sometimes we'll use that. I like the bus. I do really well on the bus. But back in the day, I mean, it was vans. So the first cross country tour was a pickup truck, Dexter's pickup truck, and with a trailer that barely didn't even hold all the equipment. We had to, three of us would be in the back of the pickup truck with some of the drums at first, and then. Eventually, that trailer broke down on us, and we got a bigger trailer where we were able to put all this stuff in it. But so yeah, but we still go out and try to play the music that we love. Hopefully, connecting with people. We certainly are connecting with a lot more people than we were back in the back in the band days. But and then we drink beer, play music with our friends, and have a good time. It's really, except for the venues, it hasn't changed that much.
When you're not playing shows, maybe rehearsing or writing new music and noodling, what fills your days, man?
Oh gosh, a lot of just family stuff. I put on the parent hat when I'm home, and I love playing guitar. You know, I'll do that. I'm kind of a news junkie, so I'll watch and read a lot of news too.
Anything in particular catch your eye? I mean, are you a big political junkie or just?
That's mostly it. Yeah, politics, yeah. And it's kind of a very infuriating time, but it's also a very interesting time to be alive if you're a political junkie. We're trying to just figure out how the hell we ended up where we're at. You know, not just this country, but really the world. There's really a kind of a swing towards ethnocentric sort of nationalism, which is, you know, terrifying, but also very interesting.
And it's also scary in a sense that you have so much more access to information and education, yet it doesn't seem like people are taking full advantage of that.
Well, see, I think a lot of people like to focus their access so that it just pleases them. And if there's facts or information that doesn't please them, it's very easy to avoid that now because you have so many avenues that you can, you know, go down, so many other rabbit holes that you can go down. And conspiracy, you know, theory sites. And, you know, yeah, I've got I know people that really get into the conspiracy theory sites and just kind of go down that rabbit hole, and they're kind of lost any kind of rationality anymore.
Yeah, like the big one right now trending, of course, hashtag Epstein.
yeah, and who knows? You know, I tend to chalk that up to, you know, overworked staff and just, you know, human failings more than anything. You know, they certainly didn't work hard enough to keep him from committing suicide, but I don't think he was murdered necessarily.
Yeah, and going back to the whole pick the news that suits you. Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Absolutely.
As a young budding musician, do you recall maybe the best piece of advice or guidance that you ever got from a fellow musician or maybe someone that you looked up to?
I was sitting in on a round table. This is going to be interesting. I was sitting in a round table just panel with a bunch of guitarists, Mick Thompson from Slipknot and Joe Satriani, the guitar player. And he says, mm-hmm. Whatever you do, once you start a song, don't stop. Don't stop playing. Keep going. Just work through it. And I thought, oh my God, that's insane. That's great. You know, because if I screw up, I want to stop so badly. And like, force me to not do it. And the more you don't stop, the more you make it through.
The idea that just...
And I was already doing this for a living when I sat down with him.
Yeah. So what, like the idea that finish the piece because you can always go back and tweak it?
Finish the piece. Don't stop. You know, even if you have to just kind of hit... sit on one chord for a little bit, keep going until you get back into the piece, you know.
So as you guys, as Offspring was really getting off the ground there, and of course you put out the first two albums and then Smash came along and you guys really blew up. Once you guys got to that position where you're like, hey, you know what, we're really going to be able to make a go of this, you know, we're going to become more of a permanent fixture by the looks of things. Along that process, did you ever look at something in the music industry and said, you know what, that's some pretty shady shit, or like, man, that sucks?
We were able to do things differently because of how we came up. We came up really on an independent label. We really were the Davids taking on the Goliaths. But, you know, there were some industry standards where you know, it's not necessarily pay to, you know, payola, the old payola scheme. But there's kind of still some of that, you know, cheesy... you know, you scratch my back, quid pro quo kind of stuff, you know, to promote your band. But fortunately, we never had to really deal with that too much just because of the way we came. But I've seen it happen with other bands and, you know, and then bidding wars back in the day, too, would get out of hand. And okay. I think probably one of the worst things is how publishing is handled. And a lot of times, you know, labels, you know, managers, they'll take some of your publishing when you know, Dexter writes all the songs for our band, so he gets all the publishing, but sometimes labels and management will try to get in on that, and they're not writing the stuff. It's not their intellectual property, it's the songwriter's intellectual property.
Right.
You know, an extreme case of that, of course, is like what happened with John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival. Almost everybody knows that story, but he just got worked by his manager.
Aside from maybe giving yourself betting tips on who wins which professional sports title, is there a piece of advice or guidance you would go back and give your younger self?
Don't be so afraid to screw up, I think. You know, and don't be afraid to piss people off.
Ah, which I like that.
Which I don't really have that big of an issue with. I think when I was younger, especially, I wanted people to like me. I think that's probably why I got into this business, or wanting to play music for people and wanting people to like me. Yeah, don't worry about that so much.
You guys were giving back in a way. You started your own label and started signing bands as well, giving them a go, the opportunity that you guys had. Is there anybody right now that you're kind of listening to that's caught your ear or eye that you want to let people know about?
Oh, man, there's always bands that pop up. A couple that I've been listening to, they're not that new so much anymore. Plague Vendor and Together Pangea, I like those bands a lot. The Bronx has been around for probably 15 years now, maybe even more. They're one of my favorite punk bands right now, the Bronx.
Now, with a name like Noodles, have there ever been any kind of like silly or fun or cool ideas that have been proposed to you by marketing firms to try and make money or licensed apparel or products or something like that?
Not really. It's funny, I've been wearing We're friends with one of the guys who started Black Flies Eyewear. We've gone on surf trips with them and fishing trips and stuff. And we finally got around to doing a collab. So Black Flies has a Noodles model, which is really it's sort of their band. They have a Bandito model, and just kind of put my logo on it, changed it a little bit, and it's the Noodles model. But other than that, I haven't done anything yet. You'd think, right? Somebody would come up with it. We do have these cups that I throw out to the fans every night. They're just black cups with our skull logo on it, flaming skull logo on them, and I throw those out to the crowd, and I call them the cups of noodles. But that's just sort of a dumb inside joke.
Roger that. Looking ahead to 2020, we getting that new album. What can you share with us about that?
Definitely, the record's done, or we have at least a whole record done. We just don't have a record label or a distribution deal, so we're looking at that. We've got a couple of things. We've had some deals that looked promising, and then just at the last minute, for some reason or other, they fell through. But we're really kind of aggressively talking to distributors and labels, and it's a different world now than it was when we signed with Columbia. What was that, 12 years ago or whatever it was? So yeah, kind of 20 years ago. Jesus. So yeah, so we're just kind of looking. We want to sign with somebody that can help us get the word out about our record, but also get the record out to the fans the best way possible, whether that's streaming services or vinyl copies. We want to make sure that the fans can get a hold of this stuff.
Do you find is there more pressure on a band these days to kind of stay relevant? I mean, there seemed to be an ebb and flow where you could usually expect a new album from artists like every 2-3 years, give or take. But now with the rate at which people consume music, through sharing sites and streaming and all that, is there more pressure on an album, or do you find releasing singles? Like what's your approach now?
I don't know if there's more pressure or less pressure. Music fans are a little bit more fickle than they used to be. Fans would find a band and just kind of stick with it, and even just like a genre of music, and kind of focus in on that. And now kids listen to everything, which I think is rad. I think it's great that, there's so much more variety going on in rock and roll and popular music. We don't really think too much about, we always want to try to stay relevant, and we listen to what's happening new, but in the music scene. But at the same time, there's a certain kind of music that we love, that we fell in love with when we were, coming of age and trying to find our way in this world. And so we always kind of gravitate towards that. We've been really successful, so I don't think we've been doing this for shit, 25 years as a,
right.
as a career. I think we feel pretty confident in who we are and, know that we have a really, really good, solid fan base, and but having said that, every time we finish a record, like right now, the fans haven't heard it, and we're like, God, I want the fans to hear this, because I want to hear the reaction. Hopefully it resonates with them. I don't know. It's real easy to start second-guessing that, but when we're in the studio and making music, we just try to make music that sounds good, and when we know we have something that's worthwhile, you get excited about it. I guess that's the best way to measure that.
So, any chance you'll give us a new one on the 16th?
I think definitely we'll be playing one of the new songs. We've been doing at least one. We were playing "Coming for You." That's going to be on this record, but that's actually a single that we released. We put that out a studio version, shit, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's not really a new song, but it's going to be one on those records. And there's another one we've been playing that is tentatively titled "It Won't Get Better." It's about the opium crisis. And,
yeah.
And you know. So.
Do you think there's any chance I could maybe catch a lift with you guys June 5th over to Germany there?
Is that the Rock'n'Ring, Rock'n Park?
Yeah, damn, that's a pretty sweet-looking lineup.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, those festivals are always just phenomenal, great time. I think last time we did that, we were on right before Iron Maiden.
Oh,
so that was fun, yeah.
I hope they understand and appreciate how lucky they are to have those massive festivals over there, because we get shit over here in Canada. I mean, we get nothing, and it sucks.
Really? Oh, that's too bad. We've done some good festivals this year there. We played a great one in Ottawa. Blues Fest this year was really big and a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're few and far between here. I mean, you look over at the European lineup, because they're so compact over there. Like, you can just hop on any train and be somewhere in a half hour and catch a sweet festival.
True. Nobody does the festivals like Europe does, except for maybe Brazil. The Rock in Rio one has got to be one of the best and biggest festivals ever.
All right, so that's a bucket list thing.
Download now, too. They're moving Download around. Maybe Canada should vie to get one of the Download festivals.
We got
to
do something. We got legal weed here now, man.
That's right. We're here in California now, too. Yeah.
Now the smart ones
are
getting
it.
Although,
you know what? You guys never cared. I mean, I remember going to Canada, and you know, the last time we did a full cross-country tour, every time we'd pull into this hockey rink to play, it already smelled like weed, you know, even before we'd start playing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like the liberal coastal cities, but I'm talking like Regina, you know, there smells like weed. Winnipeg smells like weed.
Well, it's better than what Winnipeg usually smells like. No, I'm just kidding.
But I'm fun.
All right, looking forward to the show. Saturday, November 16th, Sum 41 Dinosaur Pileup in your headliners. The Offspring, going to be a great show. Looking forward to it. Thanks for taking the time to chat, Noodles.
My pleasure. All right. Seriously.
All right, take care,
thanks,
my man.
Greg.
Bye.
Yep, you too.